You're listening to Radio Rehab, the most informative substance abuse program on the airways. Your host is Lisa Seif, who's the director of the Ward County Court Substance Abuse Program. You can pick up the phone right now and give Lisa a call at 812-424-1400. Or if you're outside of Evansville, it's 1-888-846-7867. Radio Rehab. And now, here's Lisa Seif.
Individuals in our lives and our community, and we have a great group of women here this morning. We have Stephanie from the Warm Center in Henderson that has 100 women in there that are recovering from addictive disorders. Terry, who's also one of the staff there, and my buddy Marvelline, who's faithful to this show and to making sure our community's awareness about substance abuse stays in the front line. So we have a great show planned. Stephanie's here and is going to share a little of her story with us. Good morning, Stephanie. Hi, Ter. Hi, Marvelline.
Hello.
Hello.
A lot going on. Loss of Ted Kennedy. Wow. He struggled with addiction. His wife, Jones. Lots of addiction in that family. Anyway, Stephanie, you're closer to home. Mm-hmm. You're not in Boston, Massachusetts today. No. You're here with us. So tell us a little about you and your recovery.
I'm from Owensboro, and Owensboro, Kentucky. And I knew from the very beginning when I was a child that something wasn't quite right. I struggled with addiction from 16 till just about a year and a half ago. Meth addiction, opiate addiction, and I just didn't fit in my own skin. It was, I mean, I don't know how else
kind of an addict waiting to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So what attracted you to that kind of lifestyle? Because a lot of girls don't feel good about themselves when they're teenagers. What makes some girls go into the drug world and others?
I got into a really rough crowd probably mm-hmm. from the very beginning, and we were all dysfunctional. Nobody really liked themselves. We were always told to just be yourself. Well, I didn't know what that meant. I had no idea. And it wasn't until I got to the Warm Center that I really got to figure that out.
So what did you start out using?
I started out using alcohol, marijuana, pills here and there, and then it turned to meth.
Was that in high school?
I found it, yeah. As soon as I found meth, I was instantly in love with it.
You weren't afraid to use it?
No, not at all.
Not at all, huh?
It made everything faster, and that's what I kind of wanted. You know, you're from a small town. You want life in the fast lane kind of life, and I didn't have to think about anything because meth makes your brain go so fast.
Kind of like cocaine, isn't it?
Yeah, and things were happening around me that I didn't even realize.
So what about your family? What about your femininity? What about your...
My family has definitely suffered from my addiction.
Did they drink or drug?
No, they didn't.
So you didn't see it in your home?
No, I didn't. I had a very normal childhood. The pain that they've gone through, because I know now that the sicker I got, they were getting just as sick, sure, watching me kill myself. And if I spend the rest of my days making up for that, I'm going to try.
Sure. Well, and you are. You're clean and sober today.
Right.
You said you went through, what, 16 treatment programs?
12.
12 mm-hmm. treatment programs.
Warm was my 12th one. I didn't complete all of those.
Wow.
But I at least was admitted to at
12
least 12
different interventions.
Yeah.
Is that common for women your age, that they've had at least 10 to 20 different interventions, either by the law or by treatment? Or
I don't know how common it is. I think that when you're at the bottom, at the end of the rope, you can either go to jail or you can go to treatment, and you're going to go to treatment.
Yeah.
And that's the way it happened for me, pretty much.
So you knew treatment would always be there?
Yeah. It became like a vacation. Well, I'll just go to 30-day rehab, get away from the dope game, get away from the husband and everything that I thought was causing my problems, and I couldn't run away from me.
And Terry, you went to a lot of treatment programs too, didn't you, or a lot of interventions?
When I went through the Warm Center, it was a total of 7. This was my 7th one I went through.
Jeez. So when people like a Marvelline or other people that don't understand addiction look at you and say, this girl's already had treatment a couple times, what would you say to them about somebody that is still out there using that's had a lot of treatment?
I would say, look at yourself. That's what it took for me. When I got to Warm, I thought, these people have seen every con. They've heard every line. And I can no longer fake it. I can't not look at myself this time. And that, you know, I never really wanted it any other times.
Wow. So did anybody along the road, a minister, a doctor, anybody try to intervene and help you?
No. Yes.
They did?
Yes. My pastor of my church.
In Henderson? You know, or?
Yes.
Yeah.
Reverend Astor's. He was really behind me, supporting me, and trying to push me down the right path. But, you know, I just kept going in and out. I wasn't ready yet. I had to hit my bottom.
They just don't know what to do, do they? Marveline's going to start, has already started to put together a committee of people that really want to deal with the substance abuse issues in the community. Do you think that we need to call on the recovering people to educate the ministers and rabbis and community leaders about how to intervene?
I definitely think so. Out of all the treatment centers I've been to, if you weren't a recovering addict, I did not want to hear what you have to say. Because I figured you didn't understand me. And to a degree, I think that's right, because I already had the book knowledge.
Yeah.
As far as what treatment was about, what addiction was about. But until I heard it from somebody else that had been there, I wasn't really paying attention.
So maybe the ministers and physicians and leaders in our community need to know who the recovering people are in their congregations and call on the recovering people to help the others.
Yeah, I think so.
Because it does take a village. It isn't recovering people, but there is that language of the heart we need from each other that no one else can give us, no doubt about it.
That's right.
What do you think, Marveline?
Since I've been dealing with this initiative, I found out that I've talked to people that's in recovery. I have learned more, because there's going to be people on this committee that's in recovery. Mm-hmm. It's about 3 or 4 people. I've learned more from them about addictions than I have in my whole life.
Wow.
Because I never used. So I just thought, you know, if you really want to stop doing something, you can stop doing it. Mm-hmm. One of the ladies that was on your show a couple of weeks ago, I believe, she and I were on the phone for about an hour the other day. For her talking to me, for me to understand addiction. And the listeners, I wasn't supposed to be on the show this morning. I came in here for something else, and Lisa roped me up and asked me to come in here. But anyway, the initiative is going very well. I have to give a hats off to Community Action Program for committing to help me financially when I send out information to different people. It's coming. It's a slow process. We're not rushing this. We've got a cross-section of people involved. Blacks, whites, Jews, people from different backgrounds. Mm-hmm. This is going to be a great endeavor, and I want one of these ladies from Henderson, if they want to come on board.
Henderson's invited?
Henderson is invited.
I don't know, you know.
We've got a cancer in our community, and
that's it.
We are trying to, it's a preventive program. It's a preventive program to start to educate. The number one thing on the questionnaire is education. Most people want education, and education will, if you educate someone about something,
absolutely,
whether they are a kid or an adult, they will listen. If they listen, they will make the right choices years later,
and for sure they'll at least know where to go.
Right
They exactly. Know there's a Terry and a Stephanie sitting at these meetings,
right,
that'll reach out to them too. Do you all agree?
Yes.
We still have a lot of work to do, and WARM is doing it in their community. I can't wait to show Marveline your program. What made WARM work for you? Maybe we need to hear. What made WARM treatment program different than the other programs?
I know for me, I just had to hit my rock bottom, and I was sick and tired. I mean, at the age I'm at now, I'm 45. I mean, I've got a whole life still ahead of me, but I still don't forget my past.
Yeah.
I don't forget that. And I just have to remember that I love myself today. I'm going to love myself. And, you know, WARM let me know that I can be independent for myself. That's what it taught me.
Mm-hmm.
You too, Steph?
Yeah, I agree totally. I walked in this place, and like I said, they'd heard everything before. Every manipulation I had, they had already heard it. And they said, we don't have to like you, but we're going to love you.
And isn't it peer-led?
Yeah, it's a peer-based.
So it's not like there's all these authority figures.
No, there's very little staff for 100 women.
So you all kind of take care of each other and call each other on your stuff.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Maybe that made it different, too. Your own peers confronting you and meeting you.
Right.
I know, even for me now, you know, now that I'm not in the program, I've got the staff members that are still like sisters to me. But also, we call each other on our stuff.
Right.
You know, if we do something wrong, we don't like it, and it's inappropriate, then we call each other on it. That's the way we were taught to do it going through the program, and we still do it now.
Does that help you learn assertiveness skills?
Yeah.
Yes.
It definitely helps you learn to be accountable for your own actions. Yes. I was never accountable for anything. I let everybody around me be
take
accountable
care of
for what I was doing.
Were you the baby of the family?
No, I was the oldest.
Oh.
So,
how many other sisters?
I have two younger sisters. And
did they end up drinking and drugging too?
No, I think my middle sister didn't do anything like that. But my youngest sister saw the road I was going down, and it scared her to death, thank God.
Yeah.
And so she totally turned her life around. So I'm grateful for that.
So you got, what makes these girls go to these bad boys? You said you just had a wildness and you were attracted to the wild people.
I'm just a little sick in the head. And
but that's common with women attracted to these bad boys.
To it. I don't know why. No rules and, you know, help me get away with whatever. I think that's what it was.
Yeah. Do you see that at Warm with the 100 women? That's a common denominator.
Ooh, yeah. Yes.
Going for those bad boys.
That's when you get put on no male contact.
Oh, you're on no male contact at Warm?
No. That's when we can put somebody on it.
So they can't date. Well, that's a good thing. They shouldn't be dating when they're early in their treatment anyway, should they?
No, I want them to look at themselves.
Right.
The way where they deal with a man.
That's tough to get them to focus there, isn't it?
Right.
Well, don't go away, Tri-State. We're just going to take a little bit of break and come back and hear about more from the women from the Warm Center and Women in Recovery and Marvelline. We're having a great discussion. We'll be right back.
Hit me. You're live in the den with Big Tigger.
Hey, what's happening? It's your man Big Tig doing big things. Listen, I got the top 20 joints in the country. You want to hear what your favorite songs are? You better be right here live in the den on your favorite radio station.
Hey, you. Yeah, you listening to the radio. It's me again. Have you got that HIV test yet? As I mentioned before, if you have put yourself at risk by having unprotected sex with more than one person or used IV drugs, guess what? You've put yourself at risk for HIV. Make that appointment today by calling the Vandenberg County Health Department at 435-5683 or stop by 420 East Mulberry. It's that easy. Remember, everything is confidential. No one has to know you've gotten the test unless you tell them, so do it. What do you have to lose except maybe your life or your partner's life? When in doubt, get checked out.
You're listening to Radio Rehab, the most informative substance abuse program on the airways. Your host is Lisa Seif, who's the director of the Warwick County Court Substance Abuse Program. You can pick up the phone right now and give Lisa a call at 812-424-1400, or if you're outside of Evansville, it's 1-888-846-7867. Radio Rehab. And now, here's Lisa Seif.
Well, we are back, and we're having a hot little discussion on our break I want to share with you in the Radio Rehab audience. One of our community role models was arrested this week for dealing and cultivating $40,000 worth of marijuana. So I was asking the women what they think about that as recovering women when they hear about something like that and Marvelline. So we've been discussing that. I want us to share with you what our thoughts are about that. Stephanie, what do you think about that?
I think it really depends on whether or not he's an addict. I think God does everything for a reason, and I think maybe this was his bottom. Maybe some jail time will make this person realize that what he was doing was ruining a lot of lives.
Mm. Yeah, I have a lot of sympathy if they have an addictive disorder.
Right.
But when you're cash cropping $40,000 worth of marijuana, you're selling for profit. That's a different animal. But you're right, if he has an addiction, then mm-hmm. What do you think, Tara?
Me, myself, and I, the position that they're in, I just think they need to maybe sit in jail for a while, like mm-hmm. she said, if they're an addict or not. For me, where she was working at, that has a lot to do with it because you're putting a lot of people's lives at stake.
When you're stoned every day and you got kids coming in or students, geez. But for the grace of God, go I. I'm not saying we haven't been there,
right.
impaired on our
not
jobs.
Not here to judge her.
No, right. No. The dealing part was what blew me away. $40,000 isn't just cultivating your own habit. What did you think, Marvelline, as just a member of this community and hearing that and seeing that, our role models?
Well, I wasn't shocked. I'm not too shocked at anything, but the effect that it has on other people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like what Stephanie was saying. It was just not her addiction. It harmed the whole family.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that feeling. So we live in an era of greed now.
Greed, yeah.
Money. Mm. It's all about money. So I think if that person mm-hmm. is ruining lives, they belong somewhere where they cannot ruin any more lives.
Do you think you can get addicted to money?
Oh, yes. Of course.
In the same
yes.
way as we get addicted to a drug or a drink?
Well, Madoff yes. did that, didn't he? He made
well,
off with
true.
A bunch of money.
Madoff, yeah.
I mean, getting addicted to money, you know, that's just like gambling, cocaine,
mm-hmm.
everything else,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Addicts love to do things to excess.
Yeah.
And that would definitely be one of them.
Well, when I read stuff about people getting busted with a meth lab in their car or something, I have, or a drunk driver, I have a lot of compassion. But when it's something that big, dealing that amount, $40,000 worth, that's, whew,
yeah.
that's a tough, mm-hmm. tough, yeah.
Tough call for a judge somewhere.
I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
And did you know the dealers that didn't use, they were different? The dealers that
didn't
drink or drug. Most of your dealers mm-hmm. did drink and drug.
Oh,
they weren't
yeah.
just out making the money.
No.
Yeah. I know in our drug courts we don't take dealers. We won't take
right.
people in drug courts that have a dealing charge
right.
if they were dealing for profit. Now, if it's a gram or two of meth or coke and they were caught with a gram or two, we kind of figure they're just selling to their friends to make enough for their own supply.
Right.
But if they're into the ounces of cocaine or meth, they can't get in a drug court.
Right.
They can't in Henderson either.
You can't get them in there
no.
either? Yeah, it's a horse of a different color. When they're out there in the big dealer
yeah.
world.
Yeah. All you have to do is look at, if you watched American Gangster,
yes.
Frank,
oh my gosh.
It was strictly money.
Yeah.
He went straight to the source. He didn't even have a middleman. Millions of dollars he made.
Oh, we got a caller, you guys. Hot topic. Let's hear. Hello. Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Radio Rehab.
Hey, Lisa.
Hey, Johnny.
How are you today?
Good. How are you?
Good. In reference to your topic, that just goes to show that you can't stereotype anybody anymore.
Yeah.
You know, because it's everywhere. I mean, we had a president of a local university get busted for DUI.
That's true. Yes.
So, you know, so that just goes to show that, you know, everybody has to be vigilant and kind of, you know, be aware of the people around them and what their activities are.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's true. We're each other's guardians for sure.
All right. Well, you all have a great day, and you're sounding great on the radio over
how's
here.
How's the Tri-State magazine going?
He's September. It will be out.
Good. We look forward to it, Johnny. Great.
Tri-State Recovery News.
Tri-State Recovery News, hot on the shelves in September.
Talk to you soon, Lisa.
Thank you.
Uh-huh, bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, he's going to do a recovery news magazine like Evansville Living.
Great.
To let everybody know what's going on in the recovering community. So, yeah, you can't stereotype, I guess. Did you all ever get busted legal issues?
Oh, yeah. That's what brought me to Henderson in the first place.
What were your charges, Steph?
I didn't have any drug charges. Mine were money crimes, but it was money to get drugs.
Like burglaries and robberies? Right.
Yes, and bad checks.
Bad
and
checks.
I think a lot of women have bad check charges.
I think you're right. It's so easy to write a bad check,
well, yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah. You know, I can trick myself into thinking just about anything.
Yeah.
And believing it. And, I mean, I would truly think I have money because I have this check, and whether it's my check or not. And it's just really ridiculous now that I think about it. But
only a stoned mind
right.
can justify that
right.
stuff. Was that your charges, too, Tara?
No, theft. Mine's was possession of a controlled substance, drug paraphernalia, and first DUI.
Jeez, Suey.
And I got 5 years for that. And then, well, I was on parole for 5 years, and I was released from parole this year, May of 2009. I got all my voters' rights back.
Oh, good.
And I'm back in the community. I'm ready to vote.
Yeah, good. So the courts are the new interventionists.
I think so.
Yeah.
But Marvelline's really calling on ministers to get involved right. in that as well, and doctors and others that... see a lot of people, yeah.
I think hopefully. That's great, too. I think if doctors are more aware of addiction,
uh-huh.
they'll be less likely to write prescriptions for just about anything.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's definitely. Big business now, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, Michael Jackson,
yes,
look at that.
That's
I mean,
one of the biggest addictions. That people think it's
pills.
Meth, crack, and it's pills.
It is.
Prescription pills.
It is.
I had back surgery, and 3 years
mm-hmm.
later, I was still getting a prescription every
mm-hmm.
month.
Mm-hmm. For Lortabs?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Wow. And then we have a methadone clinic here now, too, for people that try to get off the Lortabs and Oxys, and then they get hooked on the methadone.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Damned if you do and damned if you don't.
Yeah.
And I know it's hard, because I look at the higher-up people, the ones mm-hmm. that really put us down and judge us, the ones that's been
right.
out there on the streets.
Yeah.
I really look at that because as soon as they get busted, it's like hush, hush. But if we get busted or in trouble, they like to bring it out and put it straight out in the news. I have a
That's true.
Big issue with that.
Having you look your worst mugshot ever right there on the front page,
right.
especially a woman. I mean, men too, but boy, mm-hmm. women after a meth run look really bad.
Yeah.
And that's the picture they put up there.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And
yeah.
I noticed today that I know at one time I was talking to my dad about drugs and alcohol, and he said, you wouldn't believe the judges and the lawyers mm-hmm. and all that stuff that's down, you know, in these big shot places that's on drugs.
Sure, sure.
And I was like, they probably need rehab just like we do.
Well, they do, and we see them in the rooms because they end up in our rooms. And then
right.
you're just one drink and drug away from the next one like the rest
right.
of us. So,
right.
yeah, we see them all in the rooms. So is AA and NA part of your recovery?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Definitely.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Yeah. I'll have to go the rest of my life, and that's just a fact. And I used to not be able to accept that.
Yeah.
But now I can. I go and recharge my batteries at a meeting.
So do you all go to church as well? Do you do AA plus church? AA plus church. I heard the phone ring. Hold on. Somebody calling in? Good morning.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, this is Stacy.
Hi, Stacy.
I work at the Warm Center with Terry and Stephanie.
Oh, my God. We'll pray for you.
I say
me and several of the clients here were just listening, and we just wanted to show our support and love to both Terry and Stephanie.
I love you. I see y'all at 4 o'clock.
I love y'all, too. Have a good weekend.
We're going to have a peaceful night.
Y'all are crazy. 100 of you all over there in Henderson. I'm going to get Marvelline over there to meet you all.
I love them. It's amazing to see a girl come in and, you know, 6 or 7 days later, her whole face brightens up. And that makes it all worth it. All the chaos.
Aww.
It makes it worth it.
You all give her a hard time tonight, okay?
I wish you. They will.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Okay. Thank you. Love you guys.
Wow.
And I can just say.
That just makes me want to go right over to the Warm Center.
Mm-hmm. I can just say, you know, like she said, they're broke. broke. We're all broken down when we walk through those doors.
Yes.
So when they get in there, they're in there a few days, they're ready to dress up, put on makeup, mm-hmm. and spruce themselves up.
Yeah.
You know, it's just amazing. And
it's enlightening.
You get a couple of days off a week, but them couple of days, by the time of them couple of days is up, you're ready to go back to mm-hmm. work.
Sure.
You're ready to get back in there.
Well, with that spirit every day.
I know.
We got to go, Marvelline.
It's fantastic, yes.
What, can I bring Marvelline over to any of the
sure.
meetings?
Yeah, sure.
Because I came over the other night
She's
for one.
She's welcome to come in.
There were 100 women at that AA
wow.
meeting. My sponsor gave his lead.
That's fantastic.
All those girls liked looking at him.
Oh, I imagine so.
But they were very respectful mm-hmm. and excited about sobriety. Mm-hmm. They're excited about sobriety every right. day. I think a lot of people think when they get sober, it's going to get boring.
Right. I thought that for a long time.
I have most fun now. I enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Wow. Well, in closing, what would you all like? Thank you for coming, first of all. There's so much we could talk about. Mm-hmm. Anything to leave, little tidbits with the community?
I just want to say keep it simple, because it's not that serious. It's your life, and you can live a positive life now. You know, you don't have to be so serious all
right.
the time.
Have some fun.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Yeah. That's a good message.
I just want to say, if you want to get off of drugs and alcohol, you can call Warm and do a phone screen at 270-826-0036 and talk to any staff member there.
What should they say, Terry? Just, I'd like to have a screening?
Yes.
Just ask for
I'd
a screening.
I'd like to have a phone screening done, and we'll welcome you in.
It's that easy? It's that easy?
We'll give you the warm love.
Yeah, okay.
Ooh.
Yeah, I want to say hello to my family and all the warm girls. I love you, and I'll see y'all in a little while.
Definitely. And call 270-826-0036 for help.
Yes.
Great.
And I want to send a shout out to my family and let them know I love them and thank them.
They would be so proud of you all, you women, today. Wow, mm-hmm. to carry such a message of hope. Good for you. What do you think, Marvelline?
I think that Jesus couldn't be everywhere, so he's got Warm.
Yes.
He's
right.
got Stephanie. He's got Terry. He's got Lisa. He's got Judge Trockman. He's got people in the community.
And he's got a Marvelline Prince, the Angela Davis Jr. of our community. Definitely.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for seeing God everywhere, Marvelline, and having faith in us, because you're not in recovery yourself, but you sure are an advocate, and we need that.
Yes.
That's right.
Radio Rehab, thanks for tuning in. This was exciting. We'll be back again next week. Until then, don't forget to do the next right thing. And if you want to hear this show on the World Wide Web, just go to www.lisaseifcares.net and hit podcasts. And our girl Allison up front there at the pump will make sure you get to hear us on the internet as well. Thanks. And Johnny, you keep working on that Tri-State Recovery newsletter. Talk to you all next week. Bye-bye.